नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12. We'll be reading 8 verses, starting from text 17. Vanaprasthasya, of a person in the Vanaprastha ashram, Vakshami, I shall now explain, Niyaman, the rules and regulations, Munisammatan, which are recognized by great munis, philosophers and saintly persons, yan, which, asthaya, being situated in or practicing, munihi, a saintly person, gachet, is promoted, rishi lokam, to the planetary system where the seers and munis go, mahar loka, uha, o king, anjasa, without difficulty. वानप्रस्थस्य वक्ष्यामि नियमान् मुनिसम्मतान् यानास्थाय मुनिर्गच्छेत् ऋषिलोकमुहाञ्जता। ओ किंग, आई शैल नाउ डिस्क्राइब द क्वालिफिकेशंस फॉर ए वानप्रस्थ, वन हु हैज रिटायर्ड फ्रॉम फैमिली लाइफ. By rigidly following the rules and regulations for the Vanaprastha, one can easily be elevated to the upper planetary system known as Maharloka. I'll read the next couple of verses because there are many. Nakrishtapachyam ashniyat akrushtam chapi akalataha अग्निपक्वम अथा आमम वारकम पक्वम उत आहरेत। ए पर्सन इन वानप्रस्थ लाइफ शुड नॉट ईट ग्रेन्स ग्रोन बाय टिलिंग ऑफ द फील्ड्स। ही शुड ऑल्सो नॉट ईट ग्रेन्स दैट हैव ग्रोन विदाउट टिलिंग ऑफ द फील्ड बट आर नॉट फुल्ली राइप। नॉर शुड ए वानप्रस्थ ईट ग्रेन्स कुक्ड इन फायर। इंडीड ही शुड ईट ओनली फ्रूट राइपन्ड बाय द सनशाइन। वन्ने चरु पुरोडाशान निर्वपेत काल चोदितान लब्धे नवे नव्यन्य आद्य पुराणं च परित्यजेत। ए वानप्रस्थ शुड प्रिपेयर केक्स टू बी ऑफर्ड इन सैक्रिफाइस फ्रॉम फ्रूट्स एंड ग्रेन्स ग्रोन नेचुरली इन द फॉरेस्ट। When he obtains some new grains, he should give up his old stock of grains.
Agni arthameva sharanam utajam vadrikandaram shrayet himavayur agni varshark atapashat swayam.
A vanaprastha should prepare a thatched cottage or take shelter of a cave in a mountain only to keep the sacred fire, but he should personally practice enduring snowfall, wind, fire, rain, and the shining of the sun.
Kesharoma na kashmashru malani jatila dadat kamandalu ajine danda valkalagni parichadan.
The vanaprastha should wear matted locks of hair on his head and let his body hair, nails, and mustache grow. He should not cleanse his body of dirt. He should keep a water pot, deer skin and rod, wear the bark of a tree as a covering and use garments colored like fire.
Charetvane dvas dashabdan ashtava chatura muni dvave kamvayatha buddhi navipakshet krichataha.
Being very thoughtful, a vanaprastha should remain in the forest for 12 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, or at least 1 year. he should behave in such a way that he will not be disturbed or troubled by too much austerity.
Yada kalpa svakriyayam vyadhi bijarayathava anvikshakyam va vidhayam kuryat anashanadikam.
When because of disease or old age, one is unable to perform his prescribed duties for advancement in spiritual consciousness or study of the Vedas, he should practice fasting, not taking any food.
Atmani agnin samaropya sanyasyaham nam atmatam karaneshu nyaset samyak sanghatam tu yatharhata.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: he should properly place the fire element in his own self and in this way give up bodily affinity by which one thinks the body to be oneself or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into five elements: earth, water, fire, air and sky. Purport: the body is an effect of a cause, namely the five material elements: earth, water, fire, air and sky. In other words, one should know perfectly well that the material body is nothing but a combination of the five elements. This knowledge constitutes merging of the material body and the five material elements. Merging into Brahman in perfect knowledge means understanding perfectly that one is not the body but a spiritual soul. So we are speaking about the perfect society, four spiritual classes. In response to a question which Yudhishthira Maharaj had asked about principles of religion by which one can attain perfection or ultimate goal of life, namely devotional service unto the Lord, Narad Muni, first of all, gave a description of the four social classes, that is Varna, and later on in this chapter, he is describing the Ashrama Dharma, and having talked about Brahmachari, Grahastha and Vanaprastha in general, Sannyas in general, in the verses that we have just now read, he is especially speaking about Vanaprastha Ashram. So, Narad Muni is saying that by strictly following these do's and don'ts of Vanaprastha Ashram, one can be raised to Rishi Loka or Mahar Loka. Now, you can see when I read out that it's real austerity. And a Krishna Bhakta, one who spurns even liberation, he may think that going to Maharloka or Rishiloka is not a very big deal. But we have to understand that these austerities were indeed practiced in ages that have gone by. And therefore they decorate the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. We may not be able to relate to this because we are living in a materialistic world, which the other day His Holiness Rivamrut Swami described as, what he described as? He said that it is, Kama Sindhu. He said it's Kama Sindhu. Ocean of, material, things which attract a living entity. And therefore, there is no way he can take to spiritual life. But nevertheless, Srimad Bhagavatam is replete with so many examples of people who at a particular stage in their lives just left everything and went to the forest. So it is not as unrealistic as it seems, though some of the things that have been recommended seem to be beyond us in today's, looking from today's perspective. So let us discuss a few examples from Srimad Bhagavatam where people, have just given up everything that they had and just walked out. We have the extraordinary example of Lord Rishabhdev. We'll be discussing this in brief because each one is a big thing. So Rishabhdev, his pastimes are described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, son of Nabhi and Merudevi. He carried out the householder's life in a very exemplary manner, a perfect grahastha, and he begot 100 powerful and qualified sons, Bharat Maharaj being the eldest son, and of course Navayogendras and so many others were all exceptionally qualified. They were not ordinary at all. So after installing Bharat as the emperor of the world, Lord Rishabdev left everything. He just left everything and wandered over the earth as Avadhut, appearing to be blind, deaf and dumb. Appearing. He was not blind, he was not deaf, he was not dumb, but appearing to be one. In other words, Rishabdev did not care for any of the social conventions. So it is described that he appeared like a dull stone or a ghost or a madman. So people ridiculed him, people humiliated him in so many ways. This is described in the Bhagavatam. And eventually, he decided to lay himself on the ground like a python. And in his own, he was sometimes, dipped in his own urine and his stool, which Srimad Bhagavatam describes as being fragrant. The fragrance of his stool spread over miles. That is Rishabdev. Srila Prabhupada somewhere has commented that nobody should imitate Rishabdev. If somebody wants to imitate Rishabdev, then he must pass stool which is very fragrant, which is a real challenge. Anyway, so Rishabdev, by his own will, one day he consigned himself to a forest fire and just left his body that way. So an example which we cannot imitate, but which we can definitely admire and worship and learn, that austerity indeed is a way of life when we pursue spiritual goals. Then we have again in the fifth canto the example of Bharat Maharaj himself. He was in the prime of his life. He gave up his beautiful wife. He gave up all his royal opulences. And it is described that he divided his wealth among his sons and retired alone to the Pulaha Ashram. And after having gone there, he practiced severe austerities and led a perfect Krishna conscious life. Beautiful life, which he was almost on the stage of bhava, bhakti. But by the will of the Lord, he had a setback. He became attracted to a deer, which His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in Pune described as a weed in his devotional service. Unknowingly, all of us water weeds of devotional service. We think we are on the right path, but there are so many weeds which we are watering. So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in Pune said that for Bharat Maharaj, the weed in his bhakti was his attachment to this deer. His compassion eventually turned out to be an obstacle in his spiritual path. Of course, this happens by the will of the Lord. Later on, he is born as a Krishna conscious deer, and then again as the great Jada Bharat who instructed Rahugana. So going away from scene of action, material action, going to a forest, was a very common phenomena in olden days. Now it seems to be an impossibility, but that is how it was. Then we have the example in the fourth canto of Maharaj Anga. Anga, it's again a long story. Anga just could not take in his stride the behavior of his son, Veena. Veena was a very cruel person. He thought nothing of killing people, torturing people. And what is more, he was irreligious. He had no faith in the Lord. This actually gnawed at the heart of King Anga. He just couldn't take it in his stride. He was very, very miserable. In fact, his life was made hellish by Veena. So then, after going through so much misery, one day he reflected, he said that maybe the Lord has given me such a bad son, because this is the only way, I can get detached from material life. Sometimes having a son who doesn't cooperate with you at all, who is on the wrong track, and if you are the sort of a person who can reflect on what the Lord has given you, then you can withdraw also. So Anga just one fine day left his palace and he went to the forest, and nobody could trace him thereafter. Vidura, in his instructions to Dhritarashtra, says that this is one of the ways of spending Vanaprastha Ashram. Just get out and let nobody know where you are. Anyway, this is Anga. Then we have the beautiful example of Kardama Muni. We'll discuss in very brief in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, his is an extraordinary pastime. His Vanaprastha ashram or retirement from active life is really an extraordinary thing. Why? Because the Supreme Lord himself, Kapil Dev, he was in his house. He was his son. So Kapil Dev is born in his house, but still, Karada Muni, he took the decision to renounce family life and to fully engage in remembering the Lord. So when God is personally present in your house, why should you think of leaving home? So it may seem very extraordinary. But Srimad Bhagavatam says that Karada Muni took this decision because he wanted to set an example following the Vedic injunction that one must accept Vanaprastha or Sannyas Ashram after the age of 50. Very, very high standard that has been set. And then we have the very beautiful example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj heard that his beloved worshipable Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he had wound up his earthly pastimes, immediately Yudhishthira Maharaj came into a mood of total renunciation. And he decided, he prepared himself to leave home. Visrujya tatra tat sarvam dukula valayadikam nirmamo nirankara sanchinna shesha bandhanaha. So Maharaj Yudhishthira at once relinquished all his royal garments, his royal belt, his ornaments of the royal order, and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. So this sanchinna ashesha bandhanaha, this being not attached to anything material, ashesha bandhanaha, not being bound to anything, this actually is at the root of Vanaprastha ashram, being unattached. It is not so much your situation, being totally disinterested anything in anything material and being unattached. So withdrawal from material desires and attachments, unless that is there, nobody can claim to be practicing Vanaprastha ashram in the real sense of the word. Externally, we may show a lot of things, a lot of renunciation and all that, but until this is there in the core of our heart, we cannot say that we are in a Vanaprastha ashram. The symptoms of Vanaprastha ashram may be there externally, but it's not there in our heart. Just like renunciation is a quality of heart, similarly, this Vanaprastha ashram, which entails renunciation, that is also a quality of the heart. It has to be there. So the examples, a few examples that I have cited, they are all examples of people who retired or who went into Vanaprastha ashram out of spontaneity of their heart. Nobody told them, go to this. Nobody told them. It was just there. It was ingrained in their culture. It is there in the Vedic culture. It was ingrained in them. And spontaneously, they just left everything and went to the forest and practiced Vanaprastha ashram. We also have a different type of example, that of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra did not go, he did not leave his home out of spontaneous response to his old age. Not at all. In fact, even after the death of all his sons, the Kauravas, he still was attached to royal comfort. In fact, he wallowed in luxury that was provided by his compassionate nephew, Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj treated Dhritarashtra like his father and kept him in great luxury. And Dhritarashtra was very much attached. So Vidura, insulted and humiliated, comes back after a long time from his wanderings and comes to Dhritarashtra, and the saintly Vidura instructs his elder brother, because he's very compassionate towards him. The instructions are sometimes very soft, and instructions are sometimes very harsh, uses sometimes harsh words to propel Dhritarashtra to leave his home. He says, we are like a dog, you know, living on the titbits thrown by Bhima, whom you wanted to kill. So this is the way in which Vidura, in his compassion, persuades Dhritarashtra to leave his home and take up Vanaprastha ashram and perfect his life. So we are all, speaking for myself, we are all modern day Dhritarashtras, wallowing in, you know, comforts of material life. And we need saintly personalities to literally draw us out of this deep, dark well of material existence. Fortunately for us, we are within the fold of ISKCON. We have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, and thus we can get out. Otherwise, as Devamrita Swami was very graphically describing the other day, it's so difficult to get out of this Kama Sindhu, especially in these days, these times. And of course, we have the example of our own Param Guru, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who led an effective grihastha life. He entered into Vanaprastha Ashram at an appropriate age and then also took up sannyas. And he created this ISKCON institution, because of which we are all here, because of which I am sitting here and trying to talk something. So that is Srila Prabhupada. So many of the things that have been described in the verses seem to be very, very difficult to implement, or sometimes impossible to follow. But they were there. They were being practiced in the olden ages. I was just thinking that if some 50 years later, if you tell somebody that Srila Prabhupada, sannyasi, at the age of 70, he went to US and with 40 rupees, just as a starting point, 40 rupees, he created this entire ISKCON society. People will say, not possible, improbable. So things that have happened in past, which have occurred in past, which people have practiced very seriously, which are described in scripture, to the newer generation seem to be very, very improbable. But nevertheless, they are true. They are true. Just like if somebody were to say, if we were to tell the next generation that Mahatma Gandhi used the weapon of non-violence to get freedom for India, people will laugh at it. Our own Indian generation to come may scoff at it. May say, this, what a ridiculous thing you are saying. So therefore, we have to look at the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam with great respect and with knowledge, with understanding. So one of the greatest qualities of Srila Prabhupada was his compassion for the suffering humanity. He knew that the modern man, for him, strict adherence to the rules and regulations of Vanaprastha Ashram, these do's and don'ts are very difficult. So Prabhupada in his various purports in Srimad Bhagavatam sometimes glorifies Vanaprastha Ashram to heights, and very understandingly he also speaks about some ground realities which devotees who are on the threshold of Vanaprastha Ashram, they have to face. He talks about both these things. We'll see a few of his comments on this. So glorifying Yudhishthir Maharaj, Prabhupada writes, being an ideal king, Maharaj Yudhishthir wanted to retire just to set an example for others. Already a pure devotee of the Lord, constantly remembering the Lord. There is no need for him to do. But why does he do it? To set an example. So, yadyad acharati shreshto, tattad eva itaro janaha. So setting an example is a recommended process. So that he was doing. Then Prabhupada writes, as soon as there is some young fellow to look after household affairs, one should at once retire from family life to uplift oneself to spiritual realization. So Prabhupada is glorifying Vanaprastha Ashram. He's saying what one should do. Then he says, one should not rot in the dark well of life till one is dragged out by the will of Yamaraj. Don't wait for that. You must understand what we should do. And then Prabhupada says that modern politicians should take lessons from Maharaj Yudhishthir about voluntary retirement from active life and should make room for younger generation. Now, this is something impossible for politicians anyway. The required qualification to be a prime minister or a president, that you should be past 75 or 80. That is the qualification. No young person can make it to the top. This is the way of the world. So what to speak of voluntary retirement? Of course, there is VRS these days. Multinationals and others, they are giving VRS to so many people. But it's a different type of VRS. It doesn't tell you that you should withdraw from material life. It tells you that find some other way of leading material life. That is VRS. That is how it is going on. So these are the instances where Srila Prabhupada has glorified the Vanaprastha Ashram. But elsewhere, in his purports, very understandingly, Prabhupada also talks about the realities, ground realities that all of us are facing. I am now 70. We are facing some ground realities of trying to lead a Vanaprastha Ashram in the way the scriptures recommend. Virtually very difficult. So for people like us, Srila Prabhupada writes that the Varnashram system, society, was for lifting human being to the spiritual platform. But due to Kali Yuga, it's not possible to execute the rules and regulations of this institution. So all Vanaprastha say, even Prabhupada, you know, you're saying this. Nor is it possible for people in general to completely sever relations with their families as Varnashrama system prescribes. Why? Prabhupada says that the whole atmosphere is surcharged with opposition. It's true. This material world, everything, material life, the world outside, everything is surcharged with opposition. Kama Sindhu. So in this Kama Sindhu of modern life, we cannot try to follow in footsteps of these great personalities who left home, retired, to attain the goal of their life. So what should devotees like us on the Vanaprastha stage of life do? What should they do? So Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, answers this question very, very compassionately. He says that everyone's life must be so arranged that the last stage of life, say at least the last 15, 20 years prior to death, can be absolutely devoted to the devotional service of the Lord to attain the highest perfection of life. Of course, this does not apply to the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. We are talking about grahasthas. So those who have spent all their time taking care of creature comforts, enjoying material life, at least, you know, in the last stage of life, they should, 15 to 20 years prior to death, they should be absolutely devoted to the devotional service of the Lord. In a very strong comment, Prabhupada says, it is really foolishness to engage oneself all the day of one's life in material enjoyment and fruitive activities. Because as long as the mind remains absorbed in fruitive work for material enjoyment, there is no chance of getting out of conditional life or material bondage. So Prabhupada actually says it is suicidal to neglect one's supreme task of obtaining the highest goal. Atapumbir Vidyashreshta Varnashrama Vibhagashaha Sanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. So Varnashrama system is actually so created that everyone, irrespective of what varna or ashram, can eventually surrender to the Supreme Personality of God and serve, render devotional service. So that is the goal of Varanashrama system. So in our own congregation, some years back, 4-5 years back, by the inspiration that was given to us by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, we felt that there is a crying need to take care of people, devotees, who become old. Everybody is going to become old. Inevitable. So those who have crossed 50 years and they are in the congregation, what do we do for them? They cannot go to Vrindavan. They can't live in forests. Nor can they practice the austerities that have been recommended. What do they do? So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj therefore inspired some devotees who have crossed the age of 50s to get together. And thus the Varishta Vaishnava Forum was formed. We have a Varishta Vaishnava Forum for those who are, you know, 50. So we have some activities in which the vision of Radhanath Maharaj was that everyone should be engaged in some way or the other in devotional service. He can't go to a forest. He can't do many of the things that he should be doing at this stage of life. But let him at least get engaged in some devotional service. Let him keep coming to the temple. If we give him some service, he will come. That is how we find that there are several senior devotees who are engaged in some of the activities. You see them, sprinkling of them at least in the temple. So they come, they serve, and that way they are involved in devotional service. This is the compassion of the spiritual master, compassion of Srila Prabhupada, to keep everyone engaged. Have some time? So finally I come to the last verse. These are general comments on the first 7 verses. So, Atmani Agnin Samarupya Sanyasaham Mamatmanam Karaneshu Nyaset Samyak Sanghatam Ya Yathartaha. So, in this last verse, which we'll be discussing presently, it speaks about giving up bodily affinity, false conceptions, and Karaneshu Nyaset Samyak. So gradually merging the material body into 5 elements that cause the body. So the body is made up of 5 gross elements. We have the subtle body made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. And we know, Bhagavad Gita tells us, that unless we have perfected our life and attain a spiritual body and go back home, back to Godhead, at death, our subtle body will carry carry the spirit soul to another body, which will be framed according to our desires and our activities. So here Prabhupada is speaking about gradually merging the material body into the merging it into karana. Karana means, the mahat tattva. So what is this mahat tattva? It's sometimes referred to as Brahman. So here it says, Prabhupada says that one should, merging into Brahman in perfect knowledge means understanding perfectly that one is not the body but a spiritual soul. So what is this Brahman? Bhagavad Gita explains it in the 14th chapter. Mama yoni mahat brahma tasmin garbham dadamyaham sambhava sarva bhutanam tato bhavati bharata. So the total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the birth of all living beings, O son of Bharat. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam hitunanena kaunteya jagad viparivartite. So the Lord says that the material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. And under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So when a spirit soul takes birth, accepts a body, it becomes birth. When a spirit soul rejects a body, it becomes death. So this birth and annihilation, they keep on happening in this material universe. So Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, he writes that just as the father gives a seed to the womb of the mother of the child, similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his mere glance, injects all living beings, all living entities, into the womb of material existence. And they come out. How do they come out? They come out in different forms, different species, according to their last desires and activities. So it is really amazing, if you just analyze, that the same 5 elements are there. Bhumi, Rapa, Analo, Vayu, Kham, and also for the subtle element. And out of these 8 elements, Mother Nature, by the superintendence of the Supreme Lord, is creating so many varieties of bodies, same elements. So different bodies created by the process of birth, created in the womb of the mother, and they come out with so much variegatedness, with so many different tendencies, so many different natures. This itself is a miracle that one can think of. Same elements in so many different bodies. So, after one is born, the stage between a soul accepting a body and the soul rejecting a body, birth and death, is the life that we lead. Whether we lead it in spiritual consciousness or whether we lead it just for sense gratification, that is a choice that every living entity has. But after death, whether we are a devotee or not a devotee, the follow-up action is the same. What is the follow-up action? Either the body from which the soul has left, it is burnt, it is cremated, or it is buried, or it is thrown to some scavenger birds. But finally, what is the result? The body, the corporeal body, is reduced to back to elements. Right? So in analysis of pharmaceuticals, one of the courses that I used to give in the university, there is a very interesting test. It is known as ash value. Ash value. So you have a drug or you have a perfumery commodity like nutmeg or you have cloves. Huh? All of them are containing some perfume, some essential oils. So usually what people do, cheating propensity is one of the propensities. People take fresh cloves, they steam distill the essential principle, take it out, take those cloves, dry it in the sun, mix it with little good clove and market it. So the essential principle is out. It's already gone. It's not there at all. And then some fragrance is there because some fresh cloves have been added, but you have been cheated totally. This happens for many products, many, many things. So this happens. It also happens for tea leaves. So many things. So the essential principle gone. Then what do you do? How do you decide whether how do you decide the quality? Burn it, ash value. So a fresh clove, certain amount of clove, when you burn it, it'll leave a particular amount of ash. But if you have cloves from which essential principles have been taken out by cheating, then when you burn it, it will leave some other quantity of ash. And this crudest of the crude tests indicates whether there is, you know, adulteration or not. So just a crude analogy about a crude test, but the same thing is more or less true. Every human being, when he's finally burnt, he reduced to ash. There is an ash value. Just an ash value, nothing else. Whatever devotional service he has performed in his life, whatever pious activities are performed, you know, they may remain with us, but everything else is gone. You are just an ash value. Maybe, you know, they distribute some laddu on the 13th or 12th day. That's all there is. That is human existence. So thus, this is material life. So from what we read in this verse, and I think the verses which are to follow, I want to go into the details, the art of giving up one's body by some yogic process that has been discussed. So I won't go into the details because the next verse possibly will deal with this, so I won't go into the details. But we have examples of devotees or people who willfully gave up their body by some yogic kriya. We have the example of Sati, who just, you know, suddenly, you know, by a yogic process, she immolated herself. It was not sati in the traditional sense. So she just left her body. We also the example of Dhritarashtra, who inspired by Vidura, went to the forest. He also practiced Ashtanga Yoga. And by the practice of that yoga, he actually separated his spiritual body, it is described, and, you know, from the elements. We have the most glorious example of Dadichi in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vritrasur could only be killed by the vajra that is made from the bones of Dadichi. So Dadichi, won't go into details again, but Dadichi gave up his body for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, because it was on the instruction of the Supreme Lord that the demigods approached Dadichi and asked him to give donation of his body. They dared to ask him. The same demigods who disturbed him in his penances, they had to go and ask for the, you know, the bones. And of course, Dadichi very willingly gave up his body. So this is how it is. So eventually, everyone is going to get reduced to his elements. So how successfully we live our material life, when it is given to us, is actually what Krishna consciousness is all about, which mercifully, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, by grace of a spiritual master, we have received it. So it is up to us to make a success of it. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free.
Where that both the husband and wife go into the forest and practice vanaprastha.
Yeah. When Dhritarashtra goes to the forest, his wife also accompanies him. Ideally, a wife who is dedicated to the husband, if he's in that consciousness, she will accompany the husband, like Gandhari went with Dhritarashtra. But it's not a rule that, you know, wife should go at the same time. Not a rule. Not a must. With Bharat Maharaj, his wife didn't go. So it's not a rule, but any wife who is devoted and who identifies herself with her husband totally, she will do what? She is Sahadharma Charini. So she will do what the husband does. Right? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.